You're listening to the Sports Therapy Association podcast. Let's talk about.
Okay, and we're live. Bang on at 8 o'clock. Bang on. The first time in 19 episodes. Doesn't feel right. But here we are. Welcome to episode 19. I bet actually no one's going to come in for another couple of minutes now thinking, oh, Matt's never on time. Anyway, right, so welcome, people. Those of you who are joining us live, thanks again for coming live. Let me get rid of that. Those of you who haven't been here before, then if you do want to say hi and you've got some questions, then that comes up on the screen. Isn't that fantastic? So you get a chance to also kind of network and show your face. So whatever's on Facebook will come up on the screen. So just saying hello to Glenn, who's also in the house as well. Gary, I take it that will be Gary, or could be Summer's taken over Gary and done something with his body. But one of the two is there on Sports Therapy Association. Namir, how are you doing? Thanks for joining us again. And Becky, there's a few showing up. Oh my, I hope my guests are quivering in their seats as we speak now. It's just filling up. 23 already, and it's only 1 minute past eight. Expectations are high. Hi, Lisa, as well. Thanks for joining us. Hope you're well. And Sarah, and people are flooding in. Fantastic. Right, so what are they flooding in for? Well, before we get to that, let's just say a thank you again to Brendan Chaplin from last week, who had a fantastic episode on It's Not About Sets and Reps. In theory, all sports therapists, all soft tissue therapists really should be thinking about brushing up on their strength and conditioning, because we now know, especially when it comes to helping somebody get back to their chosen sport or even just daily activities, strength is going to play a big part. They need to be able to get themselves out of the seat again, or they need to be able to get back on the pitch again or run again. So strength and conditioning is a big factor which needs to start making its way into sports therapy. Brendan had a fantastic hour with us last week, and it's all available on YouTube. So I will check that out. And so do check that out. It is on YouTube, as are all the episodes. Also, another bit of housekeeping is just to remind you, the competition to have a free place on Mike Rice's Anatomy Workshops. That runs out tomorrow. So hopefully you have seen a Facebook post on the Facebook page, which looks something like this. There we are. There's a post there on our Facebook page. And basically, it's a chance for three members, STM members. You have to be a member. In case you're a non-member watching this, this is where we show you that really you need to be a member. You've got a chance of winning a free place on the cadaver workshops by Mike Grice, which is going to be very exciting. It's at Keele University on 19th of June 21. Obviously, haven't been able to do it for a long time because of COVID-19, so we're looking ahead at that. We did an episode with Mike where he talked about the value of anatomy workshops and learning from the real thing as close as we can get, excuse me, as opposed to just looking at a book, a 2D thing. Very exciting. If you look at the instructions on there, it's quite simple. You've just got to kind of share the post. You've got to like Sports Therapy Association. You've got to like Movement Therapy Clinic. And you've got to tag two other therapists. And I think that's about it, really. And then you've got to also put your STA member ID in the original post. And then the winners will be drawn. Can't remember when, but it's soon. Tomorrow is your last chance to do it. And then three people, lucky people, will be given a free place on that. And each person basically getting the value of £299. So that's happening. Tomorrow's the last chance. So if you haven't done it yet, I see a lot of people have, then make sure that you do find that post and you crack on with that. Also, Gary's been busy just handing out money like he does. That's what he does, just massive pockets. He's also giving three free places in the same way as Mike. He's giving three free places on my Run Chat Live conference. Same thing, really. There's a post you'll see in the Sports Therapy Association Facebook page, and it's exactly the same. Basically, you've got to share the post, tag two therapists, and then comment back on the original with your SDA membership number. So tickets to the SDA conference are £185. It's happening on October the 29th and 30th. It's all online, and you get a chance to win a free live attendance to that, or just a recording afterwards if you prefer. So yeah, a couple of things for you guys to get doing. Once again, some fantastic opportunities, thanks to Sports Therapy Association, and particularly big Gary Benson, who just can't help handing out free things for quality CPD. It's what he does. Right then, tonight, very excited. We've had some great feedback on that, on this rather, coming up. We are, you've probably seen the advert hopefully for it. It's not Brendan, that was last week. It's Brendan's back. That's why so many people are joining in again. It is COVID-19 regional variation. We've called it that because we're living in COVID-19. We can't get away from it. But it's also going to be a chance to meet three therapists from North Yorkshire, West Yorkshire, although she hasn't got any Yorkshire accent. We'll find out about that. I was a bit disappointed. I was expecting loads of A by Gum and stuff. And also Mark from Suffolk, so further down south in the country, will be coming up. And we're going to talk about how your region can play a big difference in what advice you need to be listening to when it comes to working in these strange times. Hopefully in the room as well, we'll also have some other regional reps who will be joining us. Maybe once a month we'll do this, because personally, Gary and myself believe that the regional reps is a great move forwards to helping you improve your business. You can't just look at a YouTube video of how to get business, you know, these kind of things guaranteed to get you clients in this. They don't know who you are, where you live, what kind of town you're from, what the competition's like, what the individual restrictions are like. So same as we treat our clients individually, we've got to be treated individually when it comes to helping business and surviving as a business in these difficult times. So we're really looking forward to that. We're going to bring them up now, have a little word about themselves. But I just want to reiterate that from this very moment, it's about you now, listeners. If you're watching live, how can STA regional reps help you? This is one of the things that came out of our pre-chat talk. It's all very well us saying, we can do this, we can do this. But the most interesting thing, hopefully, and important thing to come out of this is, how can somebody who lives in your area, who knows a bit about the industry, who's connected, who's got a nice back door to all resources you could need, can help you get through, whether it's business information, advice on dealing with mental health and the stress of everything, anything you need to know, put it down in the comments, bring it up, and we will address it when we get a chance in the next 50 minutes. Sound like a plan? Sarah Jones, you've been on there for ages now. Good evening to you as well. Thank you very much. Right, let's bring these people up because they're waiting patiently. So in no particular order, I will bring up to you, ladies and gentlemen, Mark Noosey. Dun, dun, dun. Hey, Mark.
Good evening.
All right. And so closely followed by Catherine Reimer. It is Reimer, isn't it?
Reimer, yep.
There we
go.
Hey, we have got an actual real Yorkshire person. And then also coming in, let me just bring that along the bottom, impersonating Yorkshire, a Yorkshire person. We've also got, I don't know, things disappeared there. Da-da-da. Where's she gone? She's disappeared already. Okay, I can't actually see. Oh, there we are. She's disappeared. Oh, the build-up. And also, we've got Lottie Hutchinson, who is about to appear now. Drum roll. Well, she will appear in a second. I think she's having... Oh, there she goes. There she is. I think she's just practicing some Yorkshire accent in the background. There you go, Lottie, how are you doing?
Oh, hello, you're right.
I don't know what happened there, sorry.
It might have kicked me off.
It was me. I've been married for 10 years now. It was me. It was my fault. How it works. Let's put those names up. Thanks guys for joining us. We must never take that for granted. It is your evenings. I know some of you got kids and all sorts of things which would normally hinder you, so thanks for joining us. Let's have Lottie talking to kids. Just someone just right, while Lottie's sorting that out, let's start. Mark, go on, you go first, mate. Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're a regional rep for, and yeah, briefly, what made you become a regional rep. Maybe that'd be a good thing. Cool, Mark, off you go. Can you hear me, Mark? Catherine, how are you doing?
I can still hear you.
How about maybe you tell us?
I've lost my sound.
Oh,
that's okay. Well, whenever you're ready, Mark. Catherine, yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself and what made you want to be a regional rep for West Yorkshire.
Okay, so I'm the regional rep for West Yorkshire. I wanted to make it more of a support network so we could talk to each other, but also make a network for other people. So if we could refer to people local that we're not, we don't know much about, or we're not an expert in, or not don't feel as confident in, we can refer out. It'd be nice to make it like a little kind of community for the area, really.
Fantastic. And just because, I mean, it's not only me, maybe it is me, but West Yorkshire for me, I wouldn't even want to guess a town that's in West Yorkshire. I'm from the south. What sort of towns are in and around your area? Where are you from? What's near you?
I'm 7 miles from Leeds. So I'm I would be seen as a rural part. It's like a village, but it has started to expand with new builds. But there's not that many sports massage therapists around the area. Not that I've found anyway. They all kind of seem to be spread out in further villages further away. And then the closest would be then Leeds. Okay. So it's that when we were talking about why, if people actually know what sports massage therapist is, because I do find that people think, what am I different to a spa therapist? So it's, I think maybe in my area, they're not quite sure what a sports massage therapist does.
Yeah, that's something which came out of our pre-chat about whether people in your area, because some people, I imagine, like Dan, I'm from Brighton, and in Brighton, there's so much running, there's so much competition that everybody has their impression of what a sports therapist does, a chiropractor, an osteopath, and a Reiki healer, a channeler, an aura cleanser. It's all happening in Brighton, and everyone knows kind of what everyone's doing. But if you're from an area where people don't know what you provide, then straight away, that's something I guess you need to be targeting and trying to educate. And let people in around your area know what you do. Otherwise, how are you going to get business? So have you done anything with regards to that?
Mainly my Facebook page. So I'll do like, because I live in Methley. It's not far from the motorway. So it's kind of trying to get people from the local areas. But I'll try and do like a community. I'll try and advertise on our local community pages to say I'm here, I'm still working now, and or trying to even in lockdown, I was still kind of putting things up to say hints and tips and things for people, so that they knew what to do if they were having posture issues, because I mainly deal with the general public. Rather than like athletes and stuff in the area, maybe a runner now. I don't know who that is.
Mark, have you left your bath running? Is it me who can hear the gushing of water?
No, I can hear it too.
I can hear it too.
It's gone out. Stop.
Gone out.
Enjoy your live broadcasting. Can you hear us now, Mark? Mark, can you hear us? I'll take that as a no. Lottie.
I can hear you.
I'm back. How far are you from Catherine, Lottie? Because you're in North Yorkshire, aren't you?
Which I'm based in Catrick. So we're about
50 miles.
Yeah, so it's probably about 50 miles. We're straight on the motorway, okay. but it's straight
and
north.
From what you know of the geography, do you think there's much a difference in terms of people's impression of what sports therapy provides, or?
I think the difference that we find, the difference that I've found is it makes a difference of whether you're in a village or a town rather than the locations, if that makes sense, and how close your towns are to you. So for us, we've got quite a few towns that are within probably 10, 15 miles of us. So we tend to pull from quite a lot of areas. Whereas I think if you're closer to a big city, people will go into the city because that might be where they work. Or if you're in a smaller village, you might be the only one that's there. So I think it does depend, but I don't know whether it's regional or whether it's more to do with actually your location and what's your surrounding areas, if that makes sense. That's what I feel that's helped me within clinic, is that actually we've got quite a lot of towns close. It's a little hub.
it kind of makes me think even more and more, like we had Tom Colwill a while back who was talking about kind of knowing your audience and kind of reaching out and stuff and business plans. But it kind of highlights that during COVID-19, we really have been forced to not just rely on what we learned during our sports therapy course, but become business, proper business people, because it's been so important, hasn't it? So have you two done anything, or would you recommend anything that's helped you improve business skills, or did you already have them, or have you had to help get help from other people, or what's your experiences been? Either of you, fight it out.
I'll go first. So I did, I've got a little bit of a background in business. I did business studies as A level, so I sort of understood a little bit of it. We touched on it at university, and I have gone up, I've set up the clinic, and the clinic's done very well, which is great. But, and I was saying to you guys before, one of the key things for me is I'm very keen to learn. And as much as I've done very well with the clinic and the clinic is growing, I still ask for help and ask for support. And again, I've enrolled with Tom because I want to see what else Tom can bring to me to make me even better. So I'm good at now, but I can see that there's so many more areas that I could potentially get better in. So again, I've taken on a business coach, and a few of my friends have said to me, well, I'm mad, because I've got a very good thriving business, but it's because I know the business can be better and can work better for me. So it is about making sure that you constantly see the ability to grow. And I think that's one of the things that I like to help with my therapists that are at clinic, but also other therapists that are out there, is actually, what skills have I got that I can help you? But I will also help pass on the skills that I'm learning from other people. And I'm the same as a therapist. So if I learn a new technique from someone, I'm quite happy to share that technique with someone to make sure that they're getting the best out of it and that they're learning from the new things. So I'm very much about, I learn something, I pass on the knowledge, rather than it's mine and I'm going to hide it away from you and you're not knowing, because this is my new secret. But everyone perceives and deals with that knowledge very differently. And again, how you'd use that knowledge, for example, versus like in North Yorkshire versus how Catherine would use it down in near Leeds, could be very different. And it's knowing, again, like you've just said, knowing your area to know what works and what doesn't work. But I always think one of the things that I'm very keen on is, or work by, is the more that I know, the more I realise that I've got to learn. And I'm sure it's a famous quote from someone, I don't know who, maybe someone can tell me in there. But
I think it's Gary, and
I think that's key. And I think when people realize that actually nobody knows everything, that there's something to learn, that therapists can start to open up and help each other, and focus on the positives that we can give to each other rather than the negatives. And I think that's something that's massive that's come out of COVID, is it's allowed us to focus and see how other clinics are working, what they've done well, but also what they've done badly. And I found there's a couple of therapists locally that will say to me, oh my God, I did this and it didn't work. We've managed to talk it through, which is good.
It's nice to hear that somebody who's already kind of studied business and stuff as part of the degree in that is still ready to turn around to another profession and go, right, I could do with a bit of help here, sort of thing. And maybe that's because you've got you've already been taught that you need to learn stuff to be a business person. But somebody who hasn't done that is probably thinking, oh, I should be able to do this myself and I don't need other help. Maybe I feel stupid reaching out. I should know this. I'm an adult, sort of thing. It's kind of a message there, isn't it, for all therapists, reach out.
Yeah. You have to learn from somewhere. And unfortunately, there's only so much that's in books and, anywhere online. Because you can sit and Google as much as you like. And like you say, anything can come up in YouTube. You don't know whether it works, whether it doesn't work. And you don't understand why you're doing it. And it's understanding the why that means that you can actually put the best to your practice. But it is, if you're running a business, you have to be able to run a business. And being a business runner and a therapist are very, very different roles. Mm-hmm. And potentially take very two different people. And it's being able to mold yourself from one to another. And I can put my hand up and say, some days I'm great at that, and some days I'm not. And it does depend. And do you know what? Through COVID, and I'm quite happy, and I know we had a conversation beforehand with this, through COVID, I went through the first 4 weeks of feeling sorry for myself. And that was probably the key thing. Something gave me a kick up the bum and said, hey, come on, let's get on with it. which is when I started doing online consultations, speaking with other therapists and actually getting back into things. And I felt so much better for it as well. And I think that's a massive thing is I reached out, somebody gave me the kick up the bum and said, hey, get on with it. Why are you not exercising? Why are you eating rubbish? So the rest of my life had gone a little bit chaotic as well. And it got me back on track. But that's what hopefully us as regional reps, if we know how we can help the people that are in our region, we're here to be able to help you do that as well. It's not just us reaching out saying, hey, we're here if you need us. What would you like from us? How can we support you? And I'm quite happy to sit down with people, have a Zoom meeting and go through different ways that they can help their business and pass on the knowledge that I've got, if I've got knowledge that can help them. Mm-hmm. And I think I can say that probably for all of us. As reps, not just the reps that are on here, we're there to help you as SDA members.
Fantastic, yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot. I mean, everything you said there is I'm sure there's some things resonating with people in the room and people are watching the live recording, particularly because of COVID. It's all just brought everything. It's increased the sensitivity of everything, isn't it? Before, if business was going a bit bad, it was like, oh, we'll kind of work it out and it'll get better. But now if something's not quite right in your business, then everything is suddenly much more dramatic. The effect is dramatic and suddenly you're not putting food on the table and stuff. So what about you, Catherine? Did you naturally know some stuff about business pre-COVID or
No, I didn't.
So how did you cope with that?
I still kind of don't. That's the problem I think with mine, because like the first year was last year where I had to do my first inland revenue tax and I had to get my sister to help me do it because I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I collected all my receipts and I'd done spreadsheets and stuff so that I could see what I'd done each month, but that's all I knew. But I didn't know how on earth to do the inland revenue. I don't have a business mind. So even in lockdown, I just kind of did put my business on the back burner and just spent learning. So I did a million different CPDs, just on AMP, dissections, just learning all about kind of anatomy and trying to fill my brain with that before then starting up again. So I did do bits and pieces on my Facebook page to keep people interactive with it, but I still lack marketing. And the business aspect of my business, I think.
So you're saying that people shouldn't necessarily come to you if they're having problems with their marketing and business aspects?
No. Not yet. If anyone in my group does, please let me know.
But that said, and we were chatting about this before, if someone in your region is looking for mentorship or help, you've now got access because, you know, you're having meetings and stuff and chatting to Gary and myself. You could forward them to the right person, maybe. Yeah. So at the moment, you're a conduit.
Yeah.
So that's important for people to know. And I think it's good. It's big of you and it's commendable of you to go, actually, no, I haven't thought about my own marketing yet, because that's human. That's great. Yeah. We're not saying regional reps have got the answers to everything whatsoever.
This is what's good about making it the community, trying to get bits from every person. To try and make, like, get the experience.
Definitely. Yeah. Did you turn to anybody at all yourself when you were looking for answers? Any other members or?
I've been chatted to Chris Kitson.
Who did you talk to after you chatted to him?
That was Gary as well.
Right, okay. No, joking. No, Chris has been around for a long, long time. He looks like he's 12, but actually he's got an awful lot of experience in there. It's brilliant. And did he come up with any gems for you? Did he manage to help you out at all?
He helped. He did speak to Mike Grice when he was wanting to, because I was saying I needed some what to do with the group. Like, what do we start with? What meetings do we need? What topics would be good to speak about? And he said about a calendar so that you could organise what posts you put on the page, that kind of thing. And how often. So I think he spoke to Mike Grice about that.
Wicked. I mean, we are quite proud in Sports Therapy Association. We have got a lot of very valuable members. I'm sure every association kind of says that. But, and of course, I'm biased, but we have got a lot of really, really good people in here who we can help people with. So anyone who's listening again to the recording or wanting help, then reach out to your regional reps and say, look, I could do some help with this. Is it you? Or can you show me somebody who can help me, sort of thing? Mm-hmm. because if we can't help, we'll be the first people to put our hands up and say, actually, that's not my bag, but I know a person who is. I've had emails about wanting to get into rugby, so now straight away I'm, oh, you need Keith. No, forget about me. There's no point in having a Zoom meeting or anything. Go to Keith. I'll check with Keith first, obviously, but Keith's like, yeah, great, pass them on. So that's one great thing that regional reps can help you with. I'm just checking in the room. It's gone a little bit quiet. I'll put the question up there. How can STA regional reps help you? So if anybody, oh, here you go, Tara Marsden, are you applying to anyone in particular? I'd be very interested. In what? Have I missed the beginning of that conversation? Was this something I said, or it's probably me. I'm not taking the mic, but what was it in particular you'd be interested in, Tara? Come back to me on that.
I think I've just had a read through the comments. Gary or whoever's on the STA, so it might be Summer, is asking about regional reps in certain areas.
Okay. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
Sorry, Tara. Yeah. My brain. That's what it was. Yeah, so Gary is saying also, if you're interested in becoming a rep, then there you go, the details are in that comment. And then Tara said, I'd be really interested. Makes sense. There you go. Sorry, Tara. Makes sense. Let's just have a little bit of pity for Chris. There you go. That's enough of that. We have got some other reps in here, actually. So this is going to turn into a Who's Your Rep episode. Ryan Smith here is regional rep for Derbyshire. I've been a little quiet of late. Any questions, drop me a message. Here is the link to great. So Ryan's in there if you are in the Derbyshire area. Yeah, so Ryan's there. Also, I think I saw, who else was it? Timothy Grigg is a Southwest Regional Group, himself and Becky Carroll. So there's links there as well if you're in the Southwest and need some help. I think you're in Poole, aren't you, is it? Dorset? Yeah, I think it's somewhere around there if I read correctly. I'm in Brighton myself, which is southeast-ish. Kind of, yeah, it's southeast, I think. Well, I'm on the border, actually, southeast, southwest. So feel free to contact me if you're from the east or the west, whatever side of the church you sit on. I am happy to help you. Yeah, and there's more. In fact, on the website, there is a list in the About section telling you who your regional rep is, so you can always look it there. Yeah, thanks, Tara. I've realised now that's what you were asking about. And I feel foolish. Emma Victoria Wardle is here, and she is rep for the southeast. We should have coffee. We should chat. Oh, we can't. Maybe separately. But yeah, I think also talking with people, regional reps meeting up. I know there's been some regional rep meetings which have been organised, which is great. So that's something in the background which is happening. Yeah. Right, let's get back to extracting information. Actually, I think Mark has finished his bath now and he might be able to... Oh, he's been clean. Look at that. Let's clean him up. And say, hey, Mark, how are you doing? Mark is regional. Anyone having technical difficulties with computers who want to know how to make sure your hardware works? Yeah. And Mark is our...
Yeah. East Anglia. We've got nothing here. We've only just got electricity. Awful.
Thanks, Mark. So
we've got two reps. There's me and Leon. We've two reps.
Two reps in case one of you loses, yeah, communication. That's good. That's a good idea. So, Mark, yeah, we've been talking about some of the stuff which we kind of pre-chatted about, the importance of, because you're in quite a rural area as well, aren't you?
Very. Yeah. Everything just goes down here. Yeah.
We were talking before about how that can affect the impression, whether people actually know how you can help them. If you're in a big busy town or city, then people kind of know what a sports therapist is and they'll go running to you. But if people think, oh, they only do with sports people, you're probably missing out on a massive audience. Does that happen much with you? Do you think people don't really know?
But I explain, you know, there's a crossover and explain, because I there's an osteopath quite close here that I refer to, so yeah, I explain all that. Cool. They don't know.
Does that osteopath refer back to you?
Yes.
Oh, good. So that's a great way of getting a message out, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a two-way street, definitely, yeah. That works really well, definitely.
I do worry sometimes how effective social media is in reaching a lot of our target audience. I don't think... I mean, we're on social media quite a lot, otherwise we probably wouldn't be here now, but I think a lot of our audience don't. not everybody is on Facebook looking at the sports therapy or looking at your business page, are they? It's probably quite a small section. So have you found any ways in your area to kind of get the news out? Is it a case of still using local rags and things and news agents? And
I found it, mine's all word of mouth. That's where mine's come from. And pre-COVID, I never used to do emails out to my clients, but I have started doing that, and newsletting has been, and that's working really well. It's bringing more repeat people back in. But now I don't know. But I worked at a local leisure centre, so I was quite well known before I did sports methods.
Okay, so again, once again, it depends on where you work, what your history is as a therapist.
Yeah.
So if someone like you went to Tom or a mentor, bringing up Tom massively here, but that's the kind of thing mentors would do, wouldn't just say, oh, yeah, you live in Suffolk. Yeah, you need to do this. Right, what's your history? How well do people know you, et cetera, et cetera. So cool. Okay, then, Mark, I think you've caught up with what we've been talking about now, more or less. Just checking in here whether anybody has actually got something about... oh, here we go. So Mark Beer is looking for reps in Ireland. Have a look on our webpage, Mark. Yeah, Mark Beer, in the about section. I'm not sure offhand who we got in Ireland. Actually, what am I saying? Gary will come up now. Here we go. Boof. Don't go. Just ask Gary. Seamus, of course it is. Seamus McWalter is the Irish rep. There we go. And Gary also... has reiterated that word of mouth is where the majority of clients come from. Mm. It's interesting, isn't it? I think depending where you are, we used to put such an impetus, didn't we, on getting people to fill out Google reviews, 4 stars, 5 stars, and that's where everyone's, because then people look online. And but I do wonder, for a lot of therapists, do you three actually here in the room, do you ask all your clients where they heard about you? Is that still a standard question? Or
yeah.
And what do you find? I mean, it's going to be different for everybody, but where do you find? So, Catherine, for example, where do you find that most of your clients hear about you?
Mine is mainly Facebook. Sometimes people on the Methley community page will put looking for a local sports therapist or sports massage therapist, and they'll put, oh, well, I've been to see me. And then I'll get people through that way. But it's having the people in the first place to get the word of mouth, which is, it's a bit slow in that respect.
And do you hang out in the forums and kind of put things yourself in there sometimes just so people know you? Or?
Yeah, I'll put my link in then. I'll go, hi, if you want to speak to me, here's my page, if you want to look at more, because there are some reviews on there. But that's the one thing I don't push as much is for asking my clients who have seen me to leave reviews.
Yeah, I'm pretty bad at that as well. I just find it so much work. But I'm advertising Run Chat Live Conference 2020. And so it's going on therapistlearning.com, and the person who's putting it onto their page just says, Matt, oh, have you got any reviews for the last year? And I'm like, well, yeah, I have. I've got about 50 emails of people who said, Matt, this was amazing. Have I put them anywhere? No, of course I haven't, because I'm not a successful business person. I've never asked a professional. She does it all the time. So I've spent the afternoon going back to 2019 on my emails and bringing out basically a year's worth of, you know, great testimonies, which I haven't never put anywhere else at all. So again, speaking to a professional can help. What about you, Lottie? Where do you find most of your clients come from?
A lot of mine word of mouth. It does tend to be referrals. And the same for the guys that work in my clinic. A lot of it is referrals and repeat business. We do have a Facebook page, and we do get recommended quite highly on Facebook. So if someone puts in a forum and says, where do I need to go for a sports massage, or I've got this injury, I'm looking for a physio, or I'm looking for an osteo, we still get tagged in all of those sort of stuff, which is good. And then either one of me or one of the team tend to be able to pick it up. It depends who sees it first. So any of us comment, because when the business first started, it was everything was about me, and it's now starting to see a lot more about the team. But it is, word of mouth is probably our key, and recommendations, which they are the best ones to have, because you get your loyal clients from them. Mm-hmm. But you also then are only reaching out to the very small knit community that you have already. I think it is now, nowadays, do you get out to other areas? Do we need to get out to other areas, or is it expected to be on social media? Because it's like we've got a website, but again, how regularly do I update? I personally don't update the website very often. Mm-hmm. And it's looking at all of those different elements as, do people look at the website? Well, I get lots of traffic through it. But that's all I could tell you with it. And that's, again, another area for me to learn is, actually, I've got traffic through it. Where does it go? What does it do? What does it mean? I don't know. Someone told me I need to look to see if I get traffic through it. So I do.
I can see Mark's confused by the word traffic. We're not talking about cars here, Mark. It's a word we use about people down to
number
internet.
Of people.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah.
It's like, no, but it shows. Yeah. So each of you got slightly different ways depending on where you live, where people see you, whether you're hanging out on a local Facebook page or word of mouth. So it's all very, again, dependent on who you are and where you are. I think Timothy's brought up a good tip here that, yeah, Facebook purposely limits your reach because they just want your spondoolies. They wanted to have to do a sponsored ad. So yeah, Facebook is very limited. And the other thing about Facebook, which I always kind of harp on about a little bit, is Facebook doesn't show up in Google at all. And Google's still the biggest search engine. We say Google it. And I think a lot of people still, if they're looking for help, they're going to Google, and the more things which cause your rank to increase. But Facebook's nothing to do with Google anymore. So a lot of that stuff on Facebook is only ever seen if someone goes into Facebook. And even then, it's difficult to search for. You've got to scroll through. Yeah, it's a weird one. Where do you advertise? What do you do? Anyway, yeah, it's true.
Well,
thanks,
links,
Timothy.
Links with local running clubs. That's what I've done.
Yes.
Because I've done quite a bit of running, so I linked up with all the big clubs around here. So,
how does that go for you? Do they want to know about you, or do they think?
Yeah, they do, definitely.
Yeah?
Definitely. Yeah. And just after the start of lockdown, I set up a regular Zoom meeting with them all. So one of them would get Monday, one of them would get Thursday, one would get Friday for about half an hour just to see how people were doing, just to keep my lines of communication open.
It's so interesting hearing the differences between regions. Like Brighton, for example, back in the day, I tried doing workshops here, presentations here, approaching running clubs. Nobody from Brighton wanted to know, because I'm Matt from Brighton. They probably knew when I worked at the fitness factory in 1992 or something. And it's just, I'm Matt. And no one's willing to kind of like invest, or it's almost as if the people who you grow up with don't really. But if you kind of do something up in, I don't know, even just London or Crawley, it's like, oh, Matt Phillips. And it's like, wow, because people kind of don't know you. So in a city as big as Brighton with so much competition, trying to get your local running club to work with you or something is much, much harder, because they get it from so many therapists all the time. And basically, they will just choose somebody who is actually a runner at the club who's with them for the training sessions. And for years, I would purposely go out running. I was just knackered because I was trying to run with this club, do marathon training here just to be there. So they turn around and go, oh, I need you. And I'm like, okay, great. Fine, let's book you in. But that's something which would definitely not work in a big city for me. But for you, we haven't got much competition.
Perfect.
Yeah, perfect.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm similar to Mark in that situation. Running clubs, football clubs, all sorts of stuff like that. And we do get quite a bit. So, it comes back to how close you are to cities. And I think also for me, I'm nowhere near where I grew up. So no one's got a pre-made decisions on me. I've moved into the area after I graduated, and they've only ever known me as a sports therapist. I think that sometimes does make a difference.
Yeah.
If you're not necessarily, I haven't got any of my school friends that come and see me. I'm 4 hours away from where I went to school. So I'm known as Lottie, the graduate sports therapist, or the person that can help me with my injury, rather than, or Lottie that I went to school with that we did loads of sport. And
that's an interesting point. Because it's not just me. I think of other big therapists like Tom Goon from Brighton. I don't think he's ever done a workshop in Brighton, and yet he'll do one in Chicago, you know, and sell it out. So I think for big cities, sometimes, yeah, just different ways of approaching it.
Everybody knows everybody here, though, as well. Everyone knows everybody. So it's a big shame.
It's an interesting one. Let's have a look. We've got some questions coming in here now. People are thinking, remember people, let's just stick that up again so that you remember we do want to hear from you. Oof. How can STA regional reps help you? Let me have a look. There was a question here, I'm sure. Well, Alex has made a comment here. Alex Hogan, I never get word of mouth. Wonder if it's something I should be worried about. My intake is all independent Googlers, Facebook seekers who see the page reviews and then rebook through Facebook or me. Yeah, so maybe in your case, reviews are the way forwards. Definitely a case of working with a professional to see where your target audience is. It's interesting. Gary has now continued that conversation with you, Alex, in the comments. You'll be able to see. What else have we got going in there? Cara Gregory's in the house. Hey, Cara, how are you doing? Good evening. Most of mine are through word of mouth recommendations, some by Google search and my business FB page. Ryan Smith says we need to focus on who is our ideal client. We need to be specific. Yeah, we need to know our audience, don't we, and who we're trying to actually get through the door, whether they are on Facebook, whether they're Googling stuff, whether they're just looking in the local Facebook group or something. Yeah, it's interesting. Okay, so a question here from Jamie. We kind of touched on this already. I think it will be a depends where you live, but have any of you as regional reps played around with Facebook paid ads?
I have. I went on a CEO, so how to get good ratings and stuff like that course with a local, with a company that's on my website. And they basically put this course on for me and basically went through Facebook, Instagram, all of the different options. And there was something that they made us do whilst we were there. And they made us run a competition with a voucher valued to £30. And they made us run a paid ad. And we looked at the end of the week, we looked at which one had had the most hits. And the competition had had more at this time than it did the paid adverts. Because you've actually, people are interacting because they want to get something rather than actually interacting with something that they're, someone's telling they want to sell to you, which is what Facebook ads tend to come across as. So I personally, if I want to get more reach, I will go with a competition or a comment or a push that side of it rather than a paid ad. Because even if you're putting money into the prize, that money is better spent because you'll get more reach from it, is what I found. And every single person, and there's all sorts of different businesses. There was hoteliers, there was all sorts of football coaches, a real mix of different types of people. And everyone found that the competition got more than the paid advert.
Interesting.
But that does say Facebook tend to change their algorithms. So I don't know if I did that today, whether that would be the same results as I got. Sort of, it was probably about a year and a bit ago that I did that. But yeah, because of algorithms and what Facebook likes and what it doesn't like changes today to tomorrow.
I guess it's quite a cheap way of testing it, but you've got to treat it as a test, haven't you? Because it is amazing. They do make it so attractive where you can choose what age range, what interests, what area, what color socks they wear. I mean, you can really pin down, which sounds like you're talking to your exact audience, but you've got to test it out, I guess, and see what the response
is. Is that too
like.
Stereotypical? Are we looking then too narrow and actually ruling out the people that need our help because they're not this, especially in our industry, a stereotypical sports person? And I can probably say a lot of my clients that come through, just thinking who I've had in today, at least 50% of those are very limited in their amount of sport that they've done. And it potentially is because of so many years of pain that stopped them. But actually, are we helping those people that are in pain now and want to be playing sport? But I think that again comes back to who you want to help as a therapist and who you are, and where your goals and your aspirations go. And I think that's sports therapy as well as massage, on how you want to help people.
Mark or Catherine, ever played around or be tempted to play around with Facebook sponsored ads? Or just doesn't fit in with your...
No. I'm in East Anglia, we've only just got Facebook.
It's all about MySpace. Are you playing around with MySpace much? Or...
Vimeo.
We're still doing pigeons here.
And Catherine, been tempted or not?
I've done it once. I got some people message, but I didn't get anything from it. It was, I can't remember what advert I'd used, but I only got some messages, but it wasn't worth the money that I put into it, really. Right. I only did it for a week, but I didn't get enough from it.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. People in the room, if you've got any experience, I hope that helps answer your question. I've got lost it now. Jamie. I personally think it's all like all these things. You've got to test it out, make sure you've got some tangible way of seeing whether it works for you or not, because it will depend on where you are and how many of your audience, where you are, actually look at Facebook and stuff. Mm-hmm. And the same with Instagram, isn't it? And you can do Instagram, you can get sponsored ads. Anyway, right, let me go down. Have a little conversation in there, just ignoring as they are tonight. Here we go. Simon Hill's got a question ready. Simon Hill, did you start off juggling your sports massage therapy alongside a full-time job? How did you make the jump to full-time sports? That's interesting. See, we were talking about it before, because obviously, Lottie, you're kind of full-time with a team of four. Is that multidisciplinary, or are they all sports therapists or massage?
Two other sports therapists and then two massage therapists. Yeah. One that's doing a physio degree at the minute, and another that is very keen to advance his skills. I know he spoke to Gary the other day. So, a team that are very focused and driven.
So we've got a full-time therapist there, and then both Mark and Catherine, you're part-time?
Yeah.
And supplemented with another job?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do phase three and phase four cardiac rehab as well.
Right. Yeah. Does that link at all? Does that help get you clients, or are you mixing in circles where?
No, not really.
No.
I haven't yet.
Like we say, you probably rely on your huge reputation and the community leisure place as well. So you've got other ways of getting your word of mouth, isn't it? Have you, Catherine?
I work for a forensics company booking in casework from the police. Right. So it doesn't really link into what I'd like to do.
No. Are you trying to shift the balance towards sports therapy or sports massage?
It's having more time on an evening to, because where I am based at the moment is in my friend's cafe, but I'd like to have a more of a clinic based setup so that I can kind of, I suppose it would come across a bit more professional, but, being able to drop my hours so that at least having like a Friday or something doing sports massage through the day, because the amount of times I'll have people come to me saying, are you free today? And it's like, I'm not, sorry. So I've lost people through not being available for people to do that.
I'm sure there's probably loads of advice and recommendations for people who are juggling two jobs, because it's kind of like I remember someone telling me that having two kids is not twice as hard as having one kid. It's actually about three times as hard. And they were right. But it's probably the same with having two jobs. It's not twice as hard. It makes it three times as hard because you literally are spinning plates and trying to not be poor at one or the other.
Yeah.
But it's a whole different ballgame, isn't it, when you've got two jobs? I suppose a lot of it is making sure that you're really, really time efficient, that you manage your time really well, that you're not doing unnecessary advertising, marketing, and everything's really specific, yeah. I guess.
It's financial support as well, because I live on my own. Mm. You've got a mortgage to pay the bills. I don't have the financial support backup, sort of like maybe a partner, which would be helpful. That's the only reason they'd be there. you know.
Right. I'll just put an advert.
That's my
Facebook paid advert. You can narrow down ethnicity and eye colour.
It's
something we don't often. It's the elephant in the room, isn't it? Where it's all very worth saying do this, but if you haven't got the money,
And then if we had another pandemic again, it's like I would then be snookered.
Yes, indeed. And that was a point that I think it was you, Catherine, who brought up where you kind of laid out £200 or £300 for protective equipment and all that. Yeah,
and to call our bank of mum and dad to help out, kind of thing.
Yeah, it's hard times.
Yeah.
People in the room, if you're in a similar situation, I mean, why did you ask that, Simon, isn't it? Are you doing the same thing as well? Are you looking for advice of how to do that or how to move into the full time? Because I know I'm thinking of a couple of people in particular who would be able to help you make that decision, whether it's a case of no, you're not ready for it yet and you need to concentrate on your other job, or whether you're ready to take the plunge or... Yeah, definitely look and ask around. I think probably Gary would have a word with you afterwards and put you in contact with some people who might have some good advice for you. Mm. And it's a tricky decision, which a lot of people face. following their passion and their love, which is why we kind of do it, the altruism of helping other people. But also you need to put food on the table. It's tricky. What else we got going on in the comments here? Tom was commenting. I thought you'd chip in there, Tom, about adverts. Tom's got some beautiful adverts coming out. Very scientifically made. Very good. But Lottie, paid adverts only matter if your message has meaning, marketing over sales. Yeah, Tom's episode went into a lot about that. I love the idea of not treating adverts in isolation, of actually having a progression during the week where there is just something interesting, something to think about, and then the advert actually picks up on the other two. It is a whole science, isn't it? There's so much to be gained from speaking to an expert. Just have a quick check in the room. Facebook handing out £10 credits for advertising. Yeah, don't they just? So cynical of them. Really are. So Aaron Breers has got a question here saying, hey guys, I'm a fully time sports therapist and my bookings are full. I'm now needing to take the next step from one room to taking out a place and another member of staff. So you're moving into Lottie territory then, are you? Any tips? Hold on. Every time, let me just get you back in. There you go. Any tips on the best way to get a good therapist without breaking the bank and having no overspilled clients for them? Any tips on the best way to get a good therapist? So looking to find someone to work with you. Okay. Lottie, I guess, how did you decide on who works with you?
I have taken on graduates each time. So people that are completely fresh out of university.
You don't have to pay them, or very cheap?
No, they do get paid.
All right.
The reason why is one of the things that when I first started as a therapist, back in 2009, I worked for every football club I could work for. I worked for every rugby club. I did as many works, as many jobs and opportunities as I could. And a lot of it was for free because nobody wanted to pay. And I fell into the trap of, well, Lottie will do that for free. She'll do this for free. So I actually had a couple of years out of clinic and treating people because I fell out of love with it. So I then came back into it and a sports therapist basically took me under their wing and said to me, right, we'll get you sorted. We'll get you back on track. We'll get your skills brushed up, sort of dust all the cobwebs off and get you back going through and sort of helped mold me and mentor me, because 2 years off of seeing people with injuries, I was like, whoa, what's this? What part of the knee is that? Why is that doing this? And that's after having time out. And I probably came out of university with very little knowledge anyway, now looking back on it, of what I know now to what I left uni with. So playing it forward to where we are today, when I grew the clinic to a point where I needed to take someone on, I'd actually had a very good student with me from the local university shadowing. Which meant that I got to know her, I got to know her ability, I got to know her skills, but it also then meant that I could give somebody the opportunity that I had had given to me to take them under my wing, be there as a mentor, but also help them grow into the therapist. I'm very lucky, I've still got this lady with me and she's fabulous. And I've done the same with my other sports therapist that I've got with me. And then my two massage therapists, yes, I've interviewed them, but both were very, one was known to me as a client and sort of had very good skills that I was keen to learn from, as well as help her learn and develop. And the other one was brand new to sports massage. And he just needed help, a little bit of guiding and getting into the industry. He's already in fitness, so needed more assistance in getting into the actual hands-on side of it, if that made sense, with the sports massage. So I've always taken on graduates. I have interviewed therapists that have worked for themselves, worked for other clinics, and I found them all very stuck in their ways. Now, I would probably be, if I was interviewed by someone, they would say the same about me. I'm stuck in my ways. I like the way that I treat. I like to constantly change things up. So if you come and see me today, the way that I treat you in a week's time because of something I've learned may be different, because I've found out something new that can help you better. And some therapists that I've found don't like to run with that. They like to know the security that they're going to carry on doing ultrasound for this and it's a MOBE for that. And they're very prescribed. whereas I'm not. And the therapists that I've taken on are very much happy to be moulded and are very keen to learn and adapt and keep up with science. So I think it's difficult to say where to get them from is hard, and to find a good therapist is hard. But if you can find somebody that's new and they've got the same ideas and aspirations as you, you can help work together as a team rather than saying you're going to work under me, you're going to work for me, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. You want to find someone that can actually, you can collaborate with, so you can actually work together and you can become a team rather than I'm the boss and you're going to do as I've been told. And like I said earlier, one of my things is that my clients up until probably about a year ago were like, nah, gonna see Lottie. In fact, it was my maternity leave. I went on maternity leave for four months, and my clients were having heart attacks. They were like, no, you can't go, I'm not going to see anyone else. They did. They went and saw the rest of the girls. And you know what? Some of them have stayed with them. They're like, they're absolutely fab. But now people refer into PB Sports Therapy, not into Lottie. And it shows that actually, by my trusted judgment in my fabulous team, that my clients now trust that I've said, if I can't see you and you're going to go and see someone else, they can help you just as well as I can. So it's about finding personality and person with the same inspirations and goals as you, rather than actually interviewing them saying, how are you as a therapist? Because we can all learn. And if they're willing to learn, you can help drive that person in the direction sort of that you want them, but they're also interested in the same things that you are. And I think that's what's been key for me. And again, I've got a graduate that, because of COVID, things have been put on hold, but I'm very interested in interviewing him, sitting down with him and looking at where we can take his future to carry on. Again, this mentoring role of things that I can help him with, but also growing my team as we need to. But like I say, everything's on hold currently because of COVID, along with a lot of people, I think.
There you go. I think Lottie has covered all your points there. Talked about getting clients, overspilled clients. We talked about, No, you don't understand. Get out. It's two words. Thank you. Oh, there we go. Right, so where are we? Yes. There you go. Answers from Lottie there. So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting about being able to give them clients. You have to take 4 months off before you actually manage to, for them to have the confidence to go to one of the people who works with you. But yeah, it is a problem. It's interesting. I mean, we were talking before, I think one of the things that COVID-19 has done, we always try and put a positive spin on things, is it has made people talk a bit more and want to collaborate a bit more and talk to each other. So I think that's opened the door to mentorship. Previously, there was kind of like, oh, I don't want to ask for help and I'm not quite sure. But now I'm getting lots of emails about people who are interested in work experience and just working with us more than I used to. Unfortunately, because of COVID-19, work experience is kind of out the window, really. But have you experienced, Catherine and Mark, for example, I mean, you work by yourselves, but do you think there's more chat now between therapists, a bit less competition, and maybe the ability, because you can work with other people without being in the same building, you can be part of a team now, especially if you're getting referrals. Has COVID-19 had a bit of a positive effect in that department, do you think?
I used to just keep myself to myself, didn't really know any therapists around here. So yeah, definitely.
And do you think it's one of the factors of just helping you survive business-wise?
Yeah, and just getting someone else's opinion on something that you may be struggling with. We've set up a WhatsApp group as well in East Anglia, and there's stuff being sold, and you know, people, we can refer to each other probably now.
Brilliant.
So yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And this is coming from someone who really wasn't into social media or kind of that
definitely
stuff beforehand.
I didn't. This might sound a bit funny, but I didn't feel I needed to, because I was getting enough work from word of mouth. I didn't feel I needed to.
Mm-hmm.
But I sat on a webinar with Tor Davies,
mm-hmm.
and she kind of said the worst thing you can do during this pandemic is go quiet.
Yeah.
And then that's when I kind of thought I've got the ball with both horns and went for it.
Okay, that's cool. And Catherine, for you, do you find you're working more with other people, or kind of, have you seen barriers broken down a little bit between therapists?
Well, before like COVID, I did feel quite isolated because of just starting my business on my own and then not knowing anyone else around the area. I knew of one lady in Garforth, which isn't that far away from me. But I tried speaking to her, but it seemed to be a competition thing. But since joining, because I only joined at the STA in February, so kind of just before COVID and then everything, so there was a lot more of a support group here. So I was able to ask questions without someone saying, I'm not going to tell you anything. So it's been quite nice. Unfortunately, Chris Kitson, if I have any questions, it's usually him that I have to ask. But Adam Tonks is also now a representative for West Yorkshire as well. So if there's anything, we can chat to each other as well. So it's quite nice.
Yeah, I think it's healthy for us to recognise some of the good things kind of COVID. I mean, we're only here now, the four of us talking on Let's Talk About STA weekly web chat because of COVID-19. Basically, there's been a demand for it. It's been useful to people. The feedback's been good. Gary's seen that it's helping members and bringing people to the organisation, which is great. So, yeah, there is healthy conversation going on. Aaron's come back with another question for you lot. It's a bit personal. He's asking about money, but we'll bring it up anyway. He goes, a normal rate split per hour, 60-40, 50-50?
60-40, yeah. My guys are on.
There you go. Hope that helps out.
If you want some help, feel free to message me. It's not a problem. I'm quite happy. Either email me or pop me a message. That's absolutely fine. My email address, I'll pop in the comments at the end, my email address. So if you've got any questions, I'm happy to have a chat or, anything that I can help anyone with my knowledge. I'll quite happily say if I have no idea, I'll say I have no idea.
That's what we like to hear. Amazing reply, Lottie. Clarifies everything I was thinking. So thanks. Well, there we go. Big up for Lottie. Fine. Right. Well, look, it's already kind of 9:02 at the moment. I did have my crib sheet of other things we were going to talk about, but hopefully maybe we'll bring them up at the next one we do. On the last note then, just see if there's anything particularly I wanted to bring up. Yeah, I just wanted a quick talk about patient fears because it came up a few times of how we kind of deal with that. Maybe it's a regional thing as well, depending on where you are and how kind of freaked out people are, especially if there's unclear messages coming through from local governments and things. But have either of you been able to deal with patient fears or got any kind of recommendations or ideas that might help people actually come to you contact you rather than thinking, oh no, I don't want to go near them? What do you reckon, Catherine? Have you got any gems, any bits of advice?
Well, because I always look scary now, I think it's because I'm not in a clinic setting. I'm just kind of this random person that walks out of the back room wearing all this PPE gear. And then I aim a thermometer at their head, you know, that kind of thing. Is
you manage to pre-warn them? Do you send anything out which lets them know how they're
usually, and especially on my Facebook page, I took a photo of myself wearing it going,
brilliant,
this is to keep you safe, you know, so I'm doing it for a reason. And they do understand, but I have lost people. And they'll come back to me when I'm not wearing gloves anymore or I'm not having to wear all the PPE because they don't feel relaxed in that situation. But most of the time they're face down anyway. Can't see me.
You have to put that frustration aside and just think they're an individual. Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I think early on some people were suggesting do if you can. I mean, YouTube's great. It's getting a lot of traction, YouTube, because it's there. It shows up in Google, anything you've got on YouTube. But yeah, videos of you in your clinic. Yeah. Maybe you're doing a little mock treatment to someone, them shaking your hand, going, hi, how are you? And with gloves, showing massage with gloves. I think a lot of potentially people are struggling. It's letting them know that you don't have to be worried. You know, offering that online consultation, which we're supposed to be doing anyway to check their needs, come to clinic. And then if they do come in, just letting them know it's safe and everything and the precautions are in place.
I think it'd be useful to have new reviews with people who've had a treatment with the PPE, because I don't have any yet. So I probably need to speak to clients and say, please, could you leave a review and say, how is there any difference? Because most have said there isn't a difference because I wear quite tight skin tight gloves. So most don't notice a difference.
Yeah, getting some reviews in it as well. That's true, isn't it? Yeah. For you, Mark, have you noticed any fear able to help people overcome it?
I've been doing that weekly email, telling everybody how things are changing and what's new and what isn't new. And so it's been up to date. Sometimes it's been twice, three times a week as things have been changing so rapidly. So everybody's kind of really knew what was going on. And I did put out a video of what the clinic looked like and what I looked like and things were going on. So yeah, they all seem to know.
And do you just email out using normal email or? Oh, actually, who am I talking to now? I was going to say MailChimp. You probably think that involves going to the zoo.
Yeah, but,
just emails. Traditional emails.
Yeah, no, well, I just go for a run and take postcards around.
I shouldn't joke, but it works for you. Hey, you've got the business. But emails, staying in contact. That's good. Look, it's 9:06. We've got to go. You can see I've got restless children here. I feel a bit guilty now, but then just get out. Get out. But he's been told, he's at that age now where it's like, Daddy, I've got two eyes. It's like, yeah, I know you've got two eyes. Just go to bed. And they'll come down again. Two ears? It's like, drives you mad. So anyway, I'll go and see how he is now. There are two of us in the house, by the way. I'm not just a single parent just ordering my child to go somewhere else. There is someone else he could go to. Anyway, right. So, well, thank you, Catherine, for giving up your time. Thank you, Mark, for giving up half of your evening. And Lottie, thank you as well for joining us. It's really interesting hearing different perspectives. That is what I really hoped was going to come out from here, is having regional reps gives you an indication of things, different ways which you can be helped if you go to somebody who lives in the same area as you or is in the same situation as you. So I hope that's come out tonight. We'll have to make a regular sort of catch-up thing maybe in a month or 2 months and do another one to see how, especially if things are changing. It'd be good to have you back and chat about that. Is there anything, I'll just give you one quick spin around, if there's anything you want to talk about your own business or anything you're up to or anything you want to promote or say or do?
No, we're here if you want us.
Yeah.
So I'm in North Yorkshire, email us, contact us if there's things that we can help as regional reps, or again, regional reps helping other regional reps, get in touch. We're trying to build this community and we can make it awesome. It's about us reaching out, but also people coming to us as well and saying, hey, can you help me with this? Hopefully you can see that we're all friendly. We're very much happy to help. And that's the key thing. I think we could say that for every regional rep. They're quite happy to come and help you in any way they possibly can. And if they can't help, they'll point you in the right direction. Yeah. If not,
fantastic. Gary. And you are all unique and you've all got different life experiences, which means you can offer different things to different people, which is wonderful as well. So I'm hoping that people who watch this tonight and people who are watching the recording and think, oh my God, Mark is exactly where I am at the moment and I need to do that, so I'm going to contact Mark. Or people going, Catherine, I totally get that's what I'm suffering from now, I haven't got enough money to do this and it's absolutely bit my finances to bits trying to buy all this, so hopefully they'll contact Catherine. And other people thinking of getting new staff on and stuff like that can approach Lottie. So there we go, people. I hope you enjoyed yourself. There seems to be a lot of love in the house now, thanking him. I just put these up so our speakers feel loved and they come away from this feeling very positive. Chris Kitson can have the final word because we love Chris. Thank you all for your time. And Catherine, you're doing a great job with West Yorkshire.
The West Yorkshire Massive. Woohoo!
On that note, people, don't forget, be sharing those posts for Mike Grice and Run Chat Live. Get yourself some free goodies, courtesy of Sports Therapy Association. I won't be here next week, actually. We're going to have a guest host because I've got to go and do something else. But there will be another, as always, Let's Talk About next Tuesday. And then the week after that, I'll be back and I'm excited to bring you somebody there who I'm sorting out as well. So, yeah, stay tuned, people. Spread the good word. Oh, please, can everybody who listens to this and just share, you've got to like our YouTube channel. Once we get to 100, we can choose our own custom name instead of being... Find us at YouTube/channel/EFG10069$32. Never look professional there. So we need about 20 more people so we can actually call ourselves. Find us on YouTube at YouTube/C/SportsTherapyAssociation. 20 of you, please go and subscribe to YouTube now. That's it. Thank you, people. Thank you, Catherine and Lottie and Mark. And we will see each other same time, same place on Sports Therapy Association. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Sports Therapy Association podcast. Let's talk about.